Welcome to the You Can Be Organized with Erin podcast. I'm Erin, professional organizer and director of A Busy Family. We're going to be sharing short episodes each week to help you get organized. We'll dive into all things organizing as well as have guest interviews with other leaders in the industry. So pull up a seat and let's dive into the good stuff. Hey, and welcome back. Today, let's get into some of the basic steps for every organizing project. Whether you're going it alone or you're working with an organizer, there are some basic steps that should be followed. So first and foremost, we want to take time to think about the space. There's nothing more decision paralyzing or unmotivating than to just say, I'm going to organize my closet today and pull everything out without a plan as to what you want it to look like and how it's going to function after you're done. Let's start with thinking about the space before we actually move a single item. First question we want to talk about is, what is the ultimate purpose for the space? Sometimes we can have a space that just becomes a catch-all. It hasn't been given a designated function or it has a designation, such as in the case with spare rooms and offices. And it's very easy to put stuff to deal with later behind these closed doors, especially when company is going to show up, right? Is that whole out of sight, out of mind philosophy. And it just becomes overwhelming because we just keep stashing stuff in there and closing the door and forget about it. So the next question, after you've thought about what the ultimate purpose for this space is to figure out, what is your inspiration for this space? Now, this is one where I have a lot of fun because I get to spend hours on Pinterest looking for similar spaces or mood boards that are what I want for that space. There's a Pinterest rabbit hole that you have to be aware of. So try to stay on task. Set a timer. We're going to go back to that timer idea. Set a timer for 10, 15 minutes to research feminine home office or masculine home office or a neutral, warm boho office. Whatever your vision is for the space, you want to find some pins or pictures from magazines or online and make a mood board. Make some kind of a vision board so that you can pin it up on the wall and keep you guided towards that end result. Whether it's just colors that you like, that you're drawn to, a piece of furniture, or a layout for displaying things on shelves, put it on that board and we're going to post it in the space to keep us motivated and working towards that as we go through the project. Seriously, Pinterest is my go-to. It's a great spot to start collecting ideas of how you want it to look and feel. And it gives you everything from the colors, the accessories, the layout, the vibe, whatever you're looking for. Chances are you're going to find it on Pinterest. For those who've never used Pinterest, don't be afraid of it. It is a search engine more than it is a social media thing these days. By creating those boards, you're going to narrow in what your vision is. Your vision and your goal are similar. The goal that we talked about in the first question is the goal of what the function and what you ultimately want the space to be used for. The vision now is how it's going to visually look. So again, the colors, the accessories, the furniture, and so on. So after we've thought about those things, you want to make sure you have it down on paper. The goals and the vision printed out if you've done it on your computer. The next thing you're going to do is to measure. You want to measure your space. You want to measure your furniture and do a floor plan. You want to do this because before you start lugging heavy pieces of furniture around, you want to make sure they're going to fit where you want to put them. So measure, draw a floor plan, and again, put it on paper because we're going to pin it on the wall and it's going to help keep us focused as we're going through the project. One thing you want to remember with the floor plan is if you're buying new furniture, don't buy it until you've done the measuring step. There will be instructions on how to measure in the show notes, so be sure you download those before you measure. And another last step before we even move a thing, remember we haven't done anything in the space yet, is to take a picture. Take that before picture, because when you get discouraged and feeling overwhelmed and thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not making any difference. Throughout the project, take pictures and compare it to the first picture that you're going to take before you even start so you can see how far you've come. And don't forget, it's going to get messy. It's going to look worse while you are sorting things, while you are putting things away, while you're making those piles of items. It's going to look worse. There's no way around it. It always starts to get very overwhelming with clients, I find, at this stage, because they're like, oh my gosh, what is going on? This is not how it looked, and you have created a huge mess here for me. But it's part of the process. Trust the process. You will get there, and you'll have a space you love at the end. The final thing that we are going to do before you move anything is you're going to pick a date. Put it in your calendar and keep that appointment with yourself. So for example, if you've decided on a Saturday afternoon you're going to tackle your office, write it on your calendar. Let others know that that's what you're going to be doing so they're not going to distract you and tempt you with other plans. Treat it like you would a doctor's appointment. You're not going to cancel the doctor's appointment because your friend wants to go shopping. You're going to keep that doctor's appointment. So make this appointment with yourself. And once you've done that, you're ready to get started. Just before I get into some of these next steps for the actual project itself, there will be some printables in the show notes that you can print and post on the wall or on the door, inside a cupboard, wherever in the space that you're working on, so that you know where you're going and what you're doing next. And it helps keep your mental clutter at bay as you're going through the physical clutter. We're going to go through a couple acronyms now, and these acronyms can be all used. Some of them are repetitive, the others, pick the one that resonates with you. And again, they're in the show notes. Print them out and post it up because these are going to be the things that help you through this project. The first acronym we're going to look at is called FAST, F-A-S-T. And this is an acronym I got out of one of Peter Walsh's books. So the FAST, F is fix a time. Like we just talked about, schedule that time. You're going to fix a time. A is anything that is not used in 12 months or in the past 12 months is going to go in its own separate pile, because those are things we don't need to have access to on a regular basis. S is for somebody else's stuff. The only time that I am supportive 100% of keeping somebody else's stuff is if you have a child that is off at college or university. You can box their stuff up and change the use of their room. That's fine, but be aware there's a high probability that they may be coming home at some point and want their stuff. Don't get rid of their stuff, package it up, box it up, put it in storage, out in the garage, in the basement, wherever you have space for that item. If you are storing something for your parents or your brother or your third cousin twice removed because you have space for it and they don't, why is that your responsibility? It's not up to you to store other people's items, especially if you want to use that space for something else and it's causing you stress because it's adding to your clutter. You don't need to keep it. I am giving you permission and you need to give yourself permission to give those items back. The last one for FAST is T, and that's an obvious one. That is trash. Again, FAST, we have fix a time, a date and time. Things to remove, you're going to have anything that's not been used for the last 12 months. S is somebody else's stuff and the trash. Those last three piles, they can leave the space as we're going through. The next acronym is very similar, but these are going to be the four piles that you are going to create as you are purging. The first one is S for sort. So S is save. These are items that you are keeping and they are going back into that space. They fit the use and the goal and the vision for that space. O is offload. These are things that you want to give to others, things that belong to others, things that are ready to be donated, things that can go, if you have a storage unit, things that can go off to storage. The R is for relocate. These are things that you are keeping but don't belong in your final vision for the space. Quite often, relocate becomes a sweater that should be in the closet instead of the office, a couple coffee mugs or dishes that are now down in the rec room and should actually be a backup in the kitchen, that kind of things. Things that you are going to keep but don't belong in that space, you're going to create a relocate pile. Key with the relocate pile is to just put it in a pile. Don't take those dishes to the kitchen right away because there's a really high probability you're going to get distracted by something in the kitchen or either on the way to the kitchen or on the way back. At the end of your session, at the end of your time, that's when those items get put away. So the last one in the SORT acronym is TRASH. Again, if it's garbage, throw it out. The third and final acronym that we're going to use is SPACE, and this one I have taken from a book by Cassandra Arzenden. I can't say her last name properly, and I apologize to her. She is the Clutterbug. So the acronym SPACE, S is for sorting, so that's where you're going to use your four piles. The P is for purging. This is where we are purging things. We are getting rid of extras. We do not need six whisks. We do not need 13 pairs of black pants unless it's a uniform. Again, that's a one-off thing. Once we've done our purge, you're going to assign a spot for them. This should have been done in your floor plan and when your vision for the space. Assign them a home. So you know that if you're doing a closet, you're going to hang the long dresses here. You're going to fold t-shirts there, put your shoes there, check and refer to your plan there for the A in space. The C is contain. And we will probably do another episode to talk all about containers and how to contain your stuff based on the room. However, look around your space. Please, 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 and I tell this to my clients, do not go out and buy containers before you start. The reason for this is A, sometimes you don't need them. B, sometimes we find containers because we've done an amazing job at purging that we now have all sorts of empty containers. And C, I would feel really bad if someone went out and bought a whole bunch of containers and they didn't fit in the space or the system that they're setting up doesn't work. I will get into containers and how to measure and how to buy them and containers that I like to use and suggest in another episode, but for now, that C is for contain. E for space, to wrap it up, is evaluation. This is where you're going to evaluate the space when you're done. You're going to sit back and be like, okay, is this what I wanted? Is this working for me? The evaluate part takes a little bit longer to do because you need to use the space for a little bit to see if you need to tweak it, to see if you need to kind of go more onto a macro organizing system because not everyone is on board with this, or if you can go more micro, or you need to change the style of bin you're using. You have to take lids off. Sometimes just taking the lids off bins can make it so much more functional depending on the people using the space. So to recap, we have the three acronyms. So we have FAST, which is fix a time, anything not used in the last 12 months, someone else's stuff, and trash. We have SORT, which is the four piles, save, offload, relocate, and trash. Finally, we have SPACE, which is sort, purge, assign, contain, and evaluate. Another quick tip, things you might want to have on hand when you are doing the first steps of sorting everything and purging is to have different colored garbage bags or different colored boxes or label some baskets, but make sure they're different colors. So I quite often on site will use black garbage bags for garbage, stuff that is going to the landfill, blue for recycling so that I know when I'm taking things to the landfill that they don't go into the general garbage, they go into the recycling, and clear bags for donations. That way it is very visual for me. If I don't get to those places on my way home and the stuff ends up in my garage for a little bit, even my husband knows those three colors, that's where those bags are going. And have several on hand because you're going to go through this and you're going to find all sorts of things that you can remove from the space. A couple other tips before you get started. Here we are. We haven't even talked about getting in there and getting dirty. But there's a couple things, if you're working with an organizer or you're working on your own, that are going to help set you up for success on your project. A couple other tips are things you can do to prepare yourself for the session. One is to get plenty of rest the day before. People don't realize how exhausting organizing can be, but physically, mentally, emotionally, it's draining, it's hard. You're going to be exhausted at the end. So make sure you're rested up so you can get through what you have planned. Make sure you have some healthy snacks on hand because you're going to get hungry. Like I mentioned earlier, let people know that you're busy. That way you're not going to be tempted and interrupted. If you have pets or kids around, perhaps arranging for care for them for that time you've assigned to yourself, so that you can focus. You don't want to be just getting into it and have someone calling out, "Mom, I'm hungry." You're going to the kitchen, you're going to make a snack, you're going to make yourself a snack, you're going to get distracted. Try and make sure that either there's someone else there to help take care of the kids or the pets, or you're doing it during school hours, or you're able to send them out of the way without any problems. Wear comfortable clothes and shoes. You're going to be moving, you're going to be stretching, you're going to be crawling around, you're going to be reaching over your head. You want to make sure that you are comfortable and have good shoes on for support, because when we're on our feet all day, we don't necessarily want to be wearing flip-flops because we're really going to throw our body out of whack. Finally, if music is your thing, then find some upbeat music and a speaker and put it on. And let's roll up our sleeves and get into that space. So if you've picked a big space, for example, a kitchen, and the idea of pulling everything out of the kitchen has just got you standing there going, "Oh my gosh, what am I doing? What was I thinking? This is a bad idea." Pick a cupboard, pick a drawer, and start with one. Do not try to empty out the entire kitchen at once. If you're doing an office, pick a filing cabinet, pick your desk. Pick the bookcase, pick a smaller area within the larger area to start and focus on that area. It's less overwhelming and you have a better chance of getting it done before you feel too deflated to keep going. We're going to pull everything out. And I quite often, as I'm pulling things out for clients, I'm holding them up and they are saying, "Keep, toss, donate, that belongs here." So do that with yourself. As you're pulling it out, sort it into those piles. And that way, it's combining two steps. That being said, if you come across an item that you're not sure if you're ready to part with, or if you want to keep it, or maybe it should go into another room, I will sometimes have a maybe pile. And that's for the things you're just not quite ready right then and there to make a decision about. And we're going to come back to it later on. Now you've gone and you've started pulling things out and if you're feeling overwhelmed, it's okay. One trick, and you've probably heard me mention it and you will hear me mention it again and again, set a timer. Set a timer for 15, 20 minutes. You work for that length of time. Then you mentally know that you only have to do this for 15 minutes, and then you can take 5 minutes and go get a drink of water, or you can take 5 minutes and leave the room and get a breath of fresh air or whatever you want to do, and then come back and do 15 more minutes and take another 5 minute break, and then come back and do another 15. You can do 20, you can do 30, whatever you're comfortable with, as long as you come back to the project. Don't walk away and be like, "Oh, hey, look at that. I've walked away and I'm not coming back." If you're likely to do that, take the break in the room. Don't leave the space. So once everything's been sorted and removed, you're going to take the trash out. You're going to take the pile of donations out of the space. You're going to take that relocate pile or box or basket, move it to the hall. Just move it outside the room. Don't go around putting those things away. That is for at the end. Reason I want you to get the trash and the recycling and donations out of the space is so that you can see what is left and what is staying in the space, so that you can make sure when you start putting things back, you know how much there is of each item, you know how much there is that has to go back into that space, and you're not disillusioned and get the space all set up and then go out into the hall and be like, "Oh my gosh, I totally forgot about that basket," or, you know, "That pile of books there still has to go on the bookshelf and I just finished putting it up all nice." once it's all out, you have your empty space to work with, now's the opportunity to give it a good clean. Because you don't want to put things back into a dirty space. And who knows when the next time that space will be that empty for you to clean. And get into the corners, get into the back of the cupboard, give it a vacuum, give it a wipe out. If you're in a closet or a taller area, make sure you're getting those upper corners and the little cobwebs that go around where the wall and the ceiling meet. Give it a good clean before we start putting anything back. Going to take an inventory of what's left and compare how much is there to how much space you have. Sometimes you might have a different opinion as to how much is going to fit. So be aware some of that stuff still might not be going in. Also, the other side of that is sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, I have all this space. Everything's back in and there's an empty shelf. That doesn't mean you have to fill it. One thing I like to remind people is that sometimes an empty space is good. The empty space means that air can circulate, energy can move around, and it doesn't have to be full. Every surface, every corner, every shelf does not have to be full to the brim for you to be using the space. That empty space has opened up an energy that is going to allow more in. And whether it's more energy, whether it's more stuff, that's up to you. But remember, the space you have is what you're limited to. When you're putting things back, you want to keep a couple things in mind. The items that you are most likely to reach for, you want to keep them at eye level for the most part or within easy reach because you don't want to have to necessarily be grabbing a stool every time you need to get a glass to have some water. You don't necessarily want to get down on your hands and knees every time you're looking for the cereal, that kind of thing. So keep the things at eye level that you use most often. The items you're least likely to use, those are the ones that you're going to put in those less accessible spaces. So the turkey platter that only comes out at Thanksgiving and Christmas, that can get tucked away into one of those more awkward spaces because you only need it twice a year. And twice a year, it's not as much of a pain to move things out of the way to reach it. Heavy items, try and keep the heavier items lower so that when you're reaching them out, you're not likely to drop them on you because that would not be a fun way to start your day. When you are putting items back, this is when you're going to start keeping the like with like. So think about the zones again. We're going to have a kitchen and you're putting all the spices back. Put all the spices back in the same area. Put all the tea and coffee in the same area. The eating dishes, things for prep in the same area. Keep like items with like. Don't be afraid to add extra shelves. You can go into your local dollar store or IKEA or Walmart and you can buy little shelves that go on your shelf to create more space. Those little things are amazing and I highly recommend them, especially in cupboards where you've got plates because plates only go up, you know, 2 or 3 inches depending on your plate. And there's still 5 inches above it before the bottom of the shelf. And you can put one of those extra shelves in and maybe put your smaller plates on top. So you're condensing the amount of space you're using on that shelf. Now that we've done that, if you're doing a pantry or a kitchen or something and you're actually using containers, you want to make sure that you have left a spot for overstock because sure as heck, there's going to be a time where you go grocery shopping because you're low on Cheerios and you go out and you buy a family size box of Cheerios, but there's still, you know, maybe a third left in the container you used to store your cereal. You need a spot for that extra stuff that's not going to fit. Don't forget about that. When you're grocery shopping, make sure you check your overstock before you go out and buy more. If you are going to use containers, then now's the time to empty them out and clean them. You know, you're in that mindset. It's a good thing to do. As an organizer, when I'm working with clients, if they've already got containers set up, I'm not going to empty things out and clean them because that is not the best use of my time. That is normally left for homework. So that's kind of some really rough and dirty steps as to how to tackle any project. If you're still feeling overwhelmed with your space, remember to break it down into smaller sections. And some areas are going to take longer than you anticipate. You're going to find extra things you weren't aware that were there. And even as professional organizers, we can misjudge how long a space will take. We're normally pretty close when we do our estimates and stuff, but there are some circumstances outside of our control. These are going to include, but aren't limited to, hidden clutter. So when you showed us a project, you didn't show us what was hiding behind a dresser or under a bed. It's the hidden clutter that you don't see even. And then when we get into a space, we discover it. Another thing that can add time when you're working with a professional organizer is you've left them on their own, which is perfectly fine, but you're not there to make the decisions quickly. And chances are you're going to be left with a pile of items that you need to make decisions on for homework. So that can sometimes cause us to have to come back a few times because we need you to make those decisions before we can put things back or decide they're for donation and what have you. Another thing that can add to the time is, as a client or doing it yourself, you're really having a hard time making decisions. And that is fine. Sometimes we stir up emotions and memories, and it becomes really hard to make a decision about grandma's sweater or your old dog's collar and things like that. And that is understandable. Those things require a little bit more time, but sometimes it takes more time than what you're expecting. And distractions, I've mentioned it already today, minimizing the distractions and temptations around you. Put your phone on silent, let others know what you're doing, because it's very easy to get distracted, especially if you're overwhelmed with what is in front of you. And same when you're working with an organizer, it's easy to get distracted. And as much as we love to hear the stories associated with every little piece that we pull out of a closet or a cupboard, that takes time. And we're empathetic and we will listen and such, but keep moving as you're telling the stories. If you need to take a time to step out and breathe and have a moment, that is perfectly okay. Remember to come back. So those are a couple things that might have an effect on the length of time that you've assigned to a project, or as an organizer, we've assigned to a project. There are, you know, little variables in there that can have an impact. So now that you've put everything back, you've gotten rid of the donations and the garbage, you can relocate the other items to where they belong. Come back to the space. And let's label. Labels are something that, even if it's not a part of your end game and the vision you have for the space, you don't want labels everywhere. To get used to the systems, to get other people used to the systems, use labels to start. It gives everyone a chance to learn the system that you've put into place. So, especially if there are other people using the space, you want to put labels so they know that this is where Autumn's hats go. This is where Ben's hats go. This is where soup goes. This is where pasta goes. This is where sweaters go. This is where, you get the idea. Label everything where it goes so that other people know where it goes when they go to put it away. And it gives them a fighting chance, right? Like, you don't want to set them up for failure, and that's just going to possibly cause chaos, and people aren't even going to want to try because they are not being set up for success. When we're evaluating how these systems are working, you want to give it at least 2 weeks. Don't go and the next day say, oh my gosh, I can't stand this. This isn't working. You haven't given a chance. Okay. So normally it's about 2 weeks is what I recommend to see if something is working. You'll know in 2 weeks if it's not going to work. You're going to know if the kids are still throwing their mitts on the floor in front of the bench, then the basket you have in the closet is not going to work for them. And you have to reevaluate and think of something a little bit different for them. Don't be surprised if the system that you end up using is not exactly what you wanted in the first place, because everybody's different. And I'm going to say this so many times throughout, you know, the life of this podcast, everybody's different. We all have different organizing styles. And so if it's a space for you and you are the only one using it, then what your vision is doable as long as you're willing to maintain it. If it's a space where everybody in the family is using it, you got to adapt to them. You got to let go of the perfection and let them have a chance to win. So maybe it's making it a little less micro-organized and a little more macro-organized to help them have that fighting chance. Now, if your end result doesn't involve labels, once you've decided on the system and it's working, then you can start to remove the labels if that's still what you want. If you want to use labels and you've just taken a little label maker, like what I do with my clients, I just put on little labels for my label maker, and you can invest in, you know, fancier labels once you know the system works. There's no sense putting the money out for those fancy labels if the system's not going to work. Another thing to remember is sometimes function comes before pretty. Sometimes we have to just accept the fact that it's not going to be perfect and beautiful because it's just not functional for the space and those using it. And that's okay, because once you know the function, then we can make the function pretty. So to recap today, we've talked about what to do before you even touch anything in your space, before you remove it, all the questions to go over, the goal for the space, the vision for the space, you're going to put in your calendar, you're going to let others know what you're doing. So there's all the prep work before you even start. Your floor plan's in there. Don't forget your floor plan, or draw the closet on a piece of paper and show where you're going to put things, that kind of thing. The second thing we went into the acronyms. We did FAST, SORT, and SPACE. We talked about some things to help you have a great session, set yourself up for a successful session, including taking breaks and having snacks and setting timers and such. Talked about trying to just focus on a small area when you're dealing with a very big area. So for example, focus on the cutlery drawer to start when you're in a kitchen, and then move on to the plates and bowls and the cupboard beside the sink, the cupboard above, you know, break it down into smaller spaces. Don't try to empty the whole room at once. We talked about labeling everything and how if that's not a part of your final plan, don't be afraid to take the labels out and off once you know the system is working. But again, I can't put this out there enough. You have to give everyone who uses the space a fighting chance to have a win. If they get those little wins when they put something away properly, they are more likely to stick with it in the long run. And finally, we talked about tweaking it as we need to, and being okay with what ends up working for you, not necessarily being what you dreamed. So that's all I have for today, and I hope you found this helpful. Don't forget, we do have some printables in the show notes this week. We have our acronyms, and we also have acronyms to print out. I have a link to my Pinterest board, so you can start to see some of the things I pin and the questions to think about when looking at your space. So setting a date and what's the purpose and what's the vision. And we're going to make sure that we have those printables available for you in the show notes. So that being said, I'm out, and I hope you have a great rest of your day. And remember that you can be organized. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of You Can Be Organized with Erin. I would love to hear more from you on the topics you want to hear in upcoming episodes. Remember to subscribe so you don't miss a thing. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review and share with others who are on an organizing journey. For now, this is Erin signing off. And until next time, remember, you can be organized.